Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Hey, mama. If you are a mom and are tired of the wash, rinse, repeat, burnout cycle of motherhood, this podcast is for you. If you feel lonely and isolated in your motherhood journey, this podcast is for you. If you feel like you have completely lost your identity since your babies were born, this podcast is for you. If you feel like every other mom has it together except for you, this podcast is for you. My name is Amanda, and I'm a life coach dedicated to teaching every mom the tools she needs to liberate herself off the back burner. I am living proof that a woman can be present and loving to her kids while also being a whole ass person outside of being that kid's mom. The secret? Learning when to say fuck it.
Hello, everyone. First of all, apologies for missing a week on the podcast last week. The week before was just, I mean, it ultimately is time management, right? I could have looked at my week and been better about shifting things around, but I wasn't. And then my second daughter, Aria, she had her birthday last week. So we had her birthday party, and like her birthday ended up like taking up the entire weekend. So like Saturday was the party, and it was a slumber party, of course. And then Sunday, so for the last three, this is the third year that I've done this with my girls. My gift to them for their birthday is a mommy daughter date. And they absolutely love it so much. So if you're not doing that with your kids, I highly, highly recommend it. Because especially when you have like multiple kids, but I think this would be really beneficial even for an only child, just because you get so caught up in like the day-to-day things, right? Just like the wash, rinse, repeat. And speaking of wash, rinse, repeat, you are going to hear my washing machine in the background. It's right up, like I share a wall with the washer and dryer. And I had to wash a shirt for Aria that she wants to wear to her. She's getting her solo choreographed today after school. And she had a very specific thing she wanted to wear and asked me to wash it. And I didn't do it earlier. So I'm doing it now while I'm recording this. But yeah, just, I think it's like I was saying, I think, going on a parent child date, cause it doesn't matter if you're the mom or the dad, or if you have a daughter or a son, like a yearly thing. I think it's just so special because, yes, of course we spend time with our kids every single day. Right. But it's a whole other dynamic and a whole different like quality of time that you get to spend with your kid when you intentionally set aside half a day to go do something fun, something that they find enjoyable. And it's just you and the kid, the one kid, doing it, because it's very much like a romantic partnership, right? Like if you're in a long-term relationship and you're past like the puppy love phase, it's still nice to go out and have a date night, right? Because it's just different. It's just different setting intentional time aside to where like the whole point and purpose is to like dive deeper in that connection that you have with that person. Than it is spending your everyday, day-to-day life together, which is a beautiful thing too. Not trying to like downplay that. But especially since I have four kids and they're all girls. So there's that whole dynamic too. There is like jealousy from time to time. And especially with like a specific child who really struggles with it. Because she just is like the story that she plays in her head all the time is that like she's the least favorite for some reason, and it's not true. And so it's just really nice to have that one-on-one time with each of my girls every year for their birthdays. And so we had our mommy daughter date on Sunday. So the whole weekend was like her birthday. And yeah, that's just what it is. And I was going to like record an episode on like Monday and like produce it quick to get it out there and then, you know, do this week's too. But quite honestly, and I'm just going to be super frank with everybody this week, I was wildly depressed. I've been going through the river of misery of entrepreneurship. And I have gone back and forth as to whether I wanted to like share this part of my journey with you, because it's a little awkward since like this podcast is for my business, my social media is for my business and all of that. And then to just come on and say like, it's hard sometimes. I struggle a lot. It's like, is that really the face you want to present to your customer? But, you know, I'm here to be authentic. And the fact of the matter is that my struggles as a new business owner do not invalidate me as a life coach. Like, those are two totally different, separate skill sets. I was trying to say different and separate at the same time. And that's where that weird word, whatever I just said a moment ago, came. It was different and separate combined. Like I said, deferent, whatever. They're different skill sets, totally separate skill sets. And my river of misery is definitely from learning the business aspects of it, the learning how to sell, learning how to keep showing up when there's no evidence that any of this is wanted or working. It's so hard. It's so hard. And it's just a hard that you don't really get unless you've been in it. But I was listening to another podcast. It's a business podcast. And the host at the time of the episode that I was listening to, she had like recently had her first baby, and she was, getting ready to come back to her business full time after maternity leave. And she had made the correlation of becoming a mom being synchronous to being a business owner and like becoming a business owner, being a new business owner. And I loved it so much, and I wanted to share it here too. So, because when you become a mom, you know nothing about being a mom. You know, like a little bit, you know, you've read some books, you've gotten some advice that you want, that you asked for, and a lot of advice that you did not ask for from other people, all well-meaning people, but they give you a lot of unsolicited advice. So, you know, like maybe a little bit, you have like some book knowledge, right? But it's totally different when the baby's actually here. And you're like knee deep in it, and the baby is screaming, and you're the adult in the room who has to figure out why. Whole other ball game. And we fail miserably a lot of times, and it feels horrible, right? Like there's so many times where you're crying right along with your kid, and you just feel totally hopeless and helpless. And you're like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm obviously fucking this up. And I don't know who put me in charge. And that's exactly what owning your own business feels like. And really, that's exactly what trying anything new feels like. Because you know nothing about this new thing that you want to do. And you have to try a bunch of different things. And you have to fail a bunch of different times. The difference between motherhood and literally anything else that we want to do with our lives, anything new we want to do with our lives. With motherhood, you can't quit. I mean, you can. Some people do. Most of us have the mindset of, I can't quit. I don't have a choice. I have to figure out how to make this work. But with me, with my business, with you, with whatever new thing that you are trying to learn how to do, we have the option to quit, right? And really the only difference between a person who is successful and a person who is not successful is that the successful person doesn't give up. They just don't. They refuse to give up. They fail and 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 they keep going. And because they keep going, eventually they figure it out. Because that's just what humans do. We're actually pretty awesome at figuring stuff out. I mean, look around at modern civilization and compare it to when Jesus was alive or past that, you know, we're really, really, really good at figuring things out. And it's not just for a special select few of us who are really good at figuring things out. We're all really good at figuring this out. And how I know this is because of moms. None of us, not a single one of us, know what the fuck we're doing when we become moms. We actually become masters at failing. We have increased our capacity beyond a person who does not have kids, well past their capacity for failure. We have increased our capacity for failure through motherhood. We just haven't realized that. I never put those two things together until I listened to that podcast the other day. It totally blew my fucking mind. And I wanted to share that with you because whatever it is that you're trying to do in your life, or even you haven't even tried yet because you gave up before you even tried the new thing, whatever it is for you, I don't know, a new habit, a new hobby, maybe you want to move somewhere new, maybe you want to try a new career, maybe you want to go back to school, maybe whatever the fuck it is. You can do it. You can do impossibly hard things that break people because you're a mom. And I don't know about you, but there have been so many times in my life before where I used being a mom like as a way to invalidate myself. Like, I had to go back into the workforce before I was prepared to. I covered this story in a few episodes ago. I don't know. But height of the pandemic, I lost my source of income, and I was in school to get my bachelor's in accounting, and I had to drop out of school and go find a job in the middle of the pandemic. And I remember feeling so like small and so not worth anybody's time, because my thought was just like, I haven't had a job in like 8-9 years. I'm just a mom. Like, what am I supposed to put on my skill set here on my resume? I had one job to put on my resume, guys, and it was 9 years old. And I remember thinking, like, I'm just a mom. I don't have very much to offer. I'm just going to have to, like, hustle my way into a job and then work my ass off and learn as fast as I can before they realize that I don't belong here and fire me because I need this fucking job. But the opposite is actually true. I had so much to offer that job because I am a mom. Being a mom taught me resiliency. It taught me resourcefulness. It increased my capacity for just suffering in general, right? Like, we increase our capacity, like being able to feel negative emotions and keep fucking going. That is huge. We can, like, actually conquer the world because we're mothers, not in spite of the fact that we've wasted so much time just being a mom. I'm happy to report that I am now past my depresso espresso phase. because I just dove in and I allowed myself to process what I was feeling. And You know, I honestly was feeling it for like a couple of weeks. I hit a height of it this week. But I had to process it. And when you're processing an emotion, you're allowing yourself to feel it. You're not pushing it away. You're not trying to like get rid of it. Sure, my first thought was always like, oh my God, I don't want to be in this space anymore. I'm wanting to resist it, but then I chose not to. It's fine if like those thoughts of resisting it are there. You just have to choose to not do that. But I processed it and I let myself get really, really like angry. I was just angry. And when I was reaching out to like my coaches, I reach out for like written coaching, because that's just how that program works. I was a pissy bitch. I'm not going to lie. Like I was an uncoachable asshole, but I showed up and I still went there and I allowed myself to be a pissy bitch. I allowed myself to go through the uncoachable asshole phase. Because that was a part of the process of me processing my shit. And I journaled every single day. And, you know, most of the time I didn't want to journal, which was weird because I journal at least twice a day. Sometimes I'll journal like throughout the day too, if something comes up for me. I'm very, very like in tune with myself and my thoughts and my subconscious and my feelings because I'm a fucking life coach. I enjoy journaling. I have a stack of journals in this closet behind me from this year alone. Like I love journaling. I wanted nothing to do with it this week because I was just so angry, but I still did it because I wasn't going to give up on myself. I already made the choice not to give up on myself, not to give up on my business. The fact that I had this, you know, this dip in my belief in my business and in my belief in myself isn't a problem. It's a part of the process. If you read stories from any successful person, they talk about times like this, exactly what I'm going through. And I know that this isn't going to be the last time that this happens. It's going to happen again. Hopefully not as strongly as this last time, but it's definitely going to happen again. And when I'm there again, I just have to remind myself, this isn't a problem. It's not me taking steps backwards. It's just the human experience. The human experience is always going to be 50-50. It's always going to be like stepping in and out of belief. Just because I had a moment where I stepped out of belief doesn't mean that I'm going backwards on my journey. It doesn't mean that I'm a bad life coach. It doesn't mean that I don't have value to give to the world. It just means that I'm a fucking human. I step in and out of belief because I have a human brain. You're going to step in and out of belief too. It's okay. It's not a sign that you're doing anything wrong. It's not a sign that you're bad at this. All it means is that you're human. Let yourself fall out of belief and hold yourself there until you're ready to step back in. It's not really a good segue from what I'm talking about now to anything else. So maybe that means that I'm done, possibly. But I also wanted to talk about like birthdays because I've had a evolutionary like journey with how I celebrate my kids' birthdays. I was a really big Pinterest mom in my kids' early years. I threw like the best Pinterest parties. Like I'm talking themed food, homemade decorations, games that like were also homemade, like all this shit, right? And cakes, because I actually was a cake decorator for a bit. I did cakes on the side while I was a stay-at-home mom, just because it's something that I fell into with my dairy allergy, actually, is making cakes from scratch for myself. And then learning how to make them look pretty. And then I was like, I actually really enjoy this. And I actually was really good at it. I became good at it. And so, yeah, my kids got so spoiled with these elaborate cakes. I once made a replica of my daughter Laurelyn's favorite stuffy purple bear. He's just a purple stuffed bear. I made a cake version of him, and it was all frosting. I hand piped his entire body of fur. That was like my most impressive cake, I think. Just because it was carving, which was never my strong suit, and construction, and then all of that piping. Oh my God. My hand hurt so bad. But I was there, right? I was a stay-at-home mom. I had time to do that. I had time to work on like party shit that I was making for like weeks in advance. And I enjoyed doing that. Okay. And this is the point that I want to make. So there's so much mom guilt, which I need to just always relabel as mom shame, because that's what it is. It's shame. All this mom shame about like a bunch of different things, but birthday parties, you know, like if I like throwing elaborate birthday parties, right? If you don't, it does not make you a bad mom. Just makes you a different mom. There is fucking nothing wrong with having small, intimate family things for birthdays, or like just being the family who just doesn't make a big deal about birthdays. That's totally fine. You don't have to like combat your mom guilt through anger at the Pinterest mom, because that's how we deal with like our mom guilt. We don't actually deal with it. We just hide it under this blanket of hating the mom who does like that stuff. Because if we make her wrong, then we can be right and we can feel safe. And I just want to offer that we don't have to do that at all. We can be ourselves, not feel bad about it, and also like appreciate the mom who's our total opposite. It could just be as easy as that. And I went through a phase where I really didn't do big parties because I had enough on my plate with other things in life. Like last year, we didn't have parties at all. I don't really even think we did cakes. One of my kids, like Laurelyn, she didn't even get a cake because like we started it and then we didn't finish it. And then we left it in the fridge for way too long because we were just like, okay, we'll finish it later. And then we never did, and I had to throw it away. But that's okay, because I was going through some shit in my personal life this time last year. I did not have the capacity to do all of these things. And this year I do. Aria had a very small, we're having small birthday parties. I'm not letting them invite like 50,000 kids, which is fine because all but my youngest are at the age where they're just like, I know who my people are and I don't want to invite every fucking buddy, which is so nice and so beautiful. I love that stage. Actually, Laurelyn, my third child, who's going to turn, oh my gosh, nine. She's going to turn nine in a couple weeks. Next week. Oh, she's going to turn nine next week. She's just like, honestly, mom, I just want to invite one friend. My other friends annoy me. I love that child so much. She's been like that for a hot minute, though. Like, she was, as a three-year-old, at birthday parties, she would just, like, disappear. And I'd be like, where the fuck did Laurelyn go? she would just be somewhere by herself in a quiet space, like playing by herself while all the other kids were running around playing, because she had like had her fill of playing with other children and she just wanted to be alone. She's always been like that. And I just love that part of her so much because I understand it so deeply as an introvert. Like, I just understand it so much. She's my spirit animal. But like this year, I got the decorations. Aria wanted a Stranger Things party and Laurelin wants a Wednesday party. So actually, Aria's birthday party was last week and I decided to bump Laurelin's birthday party to this weekend because of some scheduling things with dance and these pictures that I have taken of the kids, me and the kids, every year. It has to happen next weekend or it's not going to happen. And there's also dance stuff. So I was like, we can't fucking have a party at the same time. But it's not stressing me out to have two parties a week apart because I'm just in a different headspace. I have the capacity this year to do this. I'm going to tonight take down the Stranger Things decorations. Some of them. I did the alphabet stickies on my wall and with the Christmas lights and I did the Christmas lights all the way down my hallway. That shit's staying until my birthday, January 6th, because it's good for Halloween. It flies for Halloween decoration and it flies for Christmas too. So I'm also like getting multi-purpose out of my birthday decorations. And then Laurelin's having a Wednesday themed party. So like I bought these paper bats that I'm going to stick on the wall. And those can stay through Halloween. So it's not just for like the birthday, which is nice. But even if it was, I have the capacity to do that this year. They're not getting super elaborate cakes, but I was finishing up decorating Aria's cake while her friends were already here. We went to a trampoline park and then came back here and they were watching the Twilight movie and I was quickly like finishing the cake decoration up. And her friends saw me from the living room and they're like, whoa, that is the coolest cake. And I hadn't done hardly anything to it. I mean, in my like perspective, like I said, it was Stranger Things. So the cake was just, it was already like iced, like the outer layer was iced already. And I was just in the process of piping like Christmas lights on it. And I just put happy birthday, Aria, and then run. I had a cake topper and I did some like vines, the Stranger Things vines on the top. So for me, that is not elaborate at all. That is like, I did it in half an hour. It did not take a lot of time at all. It was like me doing my bare minimum. And seeing it through other kids' eyes, other kids who are not spoiled as shit like mine, really was like refreshing to me because they were like, they ended up coming and watching me just finish the cake because it was so intriguing to them. And I was like, okay, all right, I set the bar too high for myself. This cake is really cool for everybody. And I think my kids appreciated it too. They did. They were just like, oh, that's cool, Mom. They weren't just like, whoa, that's cool. Because they've seen me do cooler shit. I sculpted a baby Groot out of fondant. He is hands down my favorite creation to date. And I don't have him anymore because he sadly grew mold on his butt and I had to throw him away. I was so sad. I was so sad because he took me, well, took me 6 hours. It's not like forever, but he just turned out so cool. It was like the coolest shit I had created up to that point. I had to toss him. Anyways, I'm going off the rails here. So I just want to offer to you that A, you are totally allowed to be the Pinterest mom and throw your kids elaborate fucking birthdays if that's what brings you joy. If you're only doing it just because you think you should, remember, should is an evil word. If you find yourself thinking, oh, I should do this, stop yourself and ask why. Who says you should do it? You don't have to do anything, okay? If it brings you joy and that's like you're a creative person, you love throwing parties, all of that stuff, go for it. Do you. And if you are going through shit in your life and you don't have the capacity to do what you normally do, that is okay. You do not have to force yourself to do the things that like the version of you that does not have all that shit on her plate can do. Okay. And also, if you're the mom who does not like throwing birthday parties and you would rather like scoop your eyeball out with a dull spoon than have to figure out all of the details and have other people's children running around your house making a mess, don't do it. You don't have to do it. Find a different way to celebrate your kid. Set your own rules. Like, you get to decide what you value in your household. I like throwing a party, except for last year. Last year, I did not, and that was okay. And also, I really just have to circle back to doing like parent-child dates with your kid. Try it. It's just the best. And you can like, it doesn't have to be super expensive. It can literally like, I do it for their birthdays. So like I do a lunch or / dinner, whatever, at whatever restaurant they want to go to. And then like an activity. So Aria chose to go shopping. So I gave her a budget for clothes shopping. And then she asked like my mom for money as well to go shopping with. And then Laurelyn, she was like, oh, I don't really know if I want to go shopping. So we were brainstorming ideas last night. I've taken her to the Science Museum because even though we live in Wisconsin, we're actually on the Minnesota border. So we're really close to the Twin Cities, and which is so nice. I really love where I live because I get to have like this Midwest life that I really love and I love for my kids. But also, we're not in the middle of nowhere. We're not like an hour away from a Target or something. Like Target's 15 minutes away. The Twin Cities is 45 minutes. Like we can go see Broadway shows when they're touring. We have museums at our disposal. And when the kids are doing dance comps, it's all local because it's all in the cities. So anyways, we went to the Science Museum because at the time she was super into dinosaurs and they have a dinosaur exhibit. And so she was like, we could do that. That was really fun. And I was like, yeah, or we could like go see a movie if there are any movies that like are out that you want to see right now, or maybe we could go get our nails done. I've never taken my girls to go get like professional mani-pedis because hello, I have four girls and that would be muy expensive. But just one, I'm like, yeah, we could go get your nails done. And she was so excited about that. And Aria was so jealous. She's like, I didn't know that was an option. I'm like, I never win. I could just like never win. It's like, Aria, you already knew exactly what you wanted. You wanted to go clothes shopping. We had fun. You got awesome clothes. Shut up. So Laurelyn and I are probably going to go get our nails done. I've taken Ozzy to Build-A-Bear both years so far. I don't know what she's going to pick this year, but you know, just get creative. You could go see a show, like a theatrical live theater show. You could go to an art museum, like whatever your kid is into. I don't know. It's a lot of fun. And It's helped bring me closer to like each of my individual girls. And I love that time where I get to just like talk specifically to them and hear what is going on in their little worlds without their sisters interrupting every 5 seconds, without everyone vying for my attention, right? I can just focus on the one kid. So that's basically it. I don't really know what this episode's about. I guess it's kind of like a coffee chat. But I also wanted to give you that encouragement that I gave you in the beginning of it's okay to go through river of misery time when you're trying something new. It's not a sign that anything's gone wrong. It's unfortunately a part of the process. But the good news is you're a mom and you are a master at increasing your capacity to fail, which sets you apart. That puts you in the category of the people who are going to succeed because you're going to keep going. I love you guys. Have a great week. And join me on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Central for Fuck It Tuesdays. I go live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Central on my Instagram and my Facebook at the same time. And we say fuck it to something. And I've had so much fun with them. And this Tuesday, we're going to say fuck it to sleepless nights. Because if you don't have a newborn, if all your kids are sleeping through the night at this point, you should be sleeping through the night too. And if you're not, it's because your brain won't shut up. Because that's what we always talk about. Just like, I get to bed and I'm so exhausted, but I just can't fall asleep because my brain won't shut up. I just keep thinking of all my the things I forgot to put in my to-do list and all that stuff, right? I know how to quiet that mind chatter. And I'm going to cover it this week live on Instagram and Facebook, 8 p.m. Central. Join me. It's the shit. I love fucking Tuesdays. And the best thing is I'm there in person live. You can like ask me questions in person. Well, in person in quotes, right? But yeah, you can ask me questions right there on the spot. If something isn't making sense, if something isn't resonating, if you just want to like ask something for your specific situation, I got you. Have a great week.
Are you living your one wild life to the fullest? You're not? Why the fuck not? What are you waiting for? The time to live is now, mama. Do not wait until your youngest is in college. Let your dreams hire me for an hour so I can explain how I can help you achieve any goal in your life. You've put yourself off long enough. It's time to pour into you. The link to schedule your 60-minute complimentary consultation is in my show notes. Join the community of Fuck It Moms by following me on Instagram and Facebook at Fuck It Mothering. That's fuck without the U. So F-C-K It Mothering. Make sure you subscribe to my channel so you never miss your weekly encouragement. And please rate, review, comment, and share. All of these things help with the algorithms, so that way when other overwhelmed moms are looking for encouragement, they can find me. Every month, I give away one of my favorite books and a Starbucks card to a lucky winner. All you have to do to enter is write a review or tag me in social media when you share an episode. See you next Sunday, gorgeous.